The man that was greatly used to God in the first revival was Ellen Blossom. Not that he preached much at all, as I told you, but his very presence there in any country was of any issue. He didn't preach much, but he was a great man of prayer. And you know, that's the secret. Every time. That is the secret of a spiritual life. That is the secret of a life of victory. He was a great man of prayer. And you know, he was interpreted as the home of David Long. Now you know David Long. David and I blessed him. We worked together for 7 years before I ever came to the city. The great boy did. 4 to 11 of the room. Well, this man, Kevin Roberts, was actually hurt over the New Jersey. Very calm and easy. And you know, the newspaper people, the press people, came to the building where he was, and he was singing. He was singing a Welsh chorus. Cadw na'n gog ar Iesu, ar ffyn na'n gog. And they wanted a New Year's message from him. But he would have nothing at all to do with Christmas. He would give them no message, none whatever, not a single word. He never believed in advertisements of the press or the servant of God. But he kept on saying, this chorus, this cousin man called out. The English translation never lose sight of Jesus. He kept on singing and singing. Well, the press people went away. The next morning, New Year's Day, front page news in the press. Evan Roberts' message to Wales. Evan Roberts' New Year message to Wales. Never lose sight of Jesus. Well, one of the new messages that was. He never lose sight of Jesus. I'll say a few verses first. Just exactly as Evan Roberts would sing it. Exactly with the voice.
The strength of the Word of God this evening is the epistle to the Corinthians, first of all. The first epistle to the Corinthians and the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or the tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Or if you like, love, that's the word, love never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall speak. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of thee is love. Now the Galatian epistle the epistle to the Galatians in the 6th chapter, and verse 17. The 6th chapter of the Galatians, we'll read at verse 16. The 16th verse of the 5th chapter of the Galatians. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that he would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, violence, such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The passage that I have just read to you now from the Galatian epistle is the passage that we want to look up this evening by the help of God, and I trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. O God, as we look at thy word together now, we pray thee to illumine the sacred page. Prepare our hearts, we pray thee. May we hear thy voice. and thy voice alone. And we pray that the word may be mixed with faith, that it may profit those of us who hear. Therefore, of all the glory and the praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Verse 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we're going to look at this evening together what is meant here by the fruit of the Spirit. This has nothing to do at all with the flesh. It's exclusively the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the material life. It's not natural life. It's entirely to do with my spiritual life. Every believer, as we know, has two natures. And the fact that he has a new nature within him does not mean that the old is improved. The only way to victory is recorded here in the 24th verse. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's the way to victory. You couple that with what we read in the Roman Epistle, chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This then, in this chapter that we're going to look at this evening, is what God can produce in the life of every believer. There are 9 graces or 9 manifestations of Christian character as produced by the Spirit of God, as revealed here in these words that we've been reading together. The first 3 would characterize as an inward state of the believer. Love, joy, and peace. The 2 would characterize an expression towards man outside. Long-suffering, gentleness and goodness. And the 3rd triplet, the character in expression towards God. First, the character in myself. When I know and enjoy myself. And the 2, to those who are outside, and the 3rd triplet, character in expression towards God, faith, meekness, temperance. So here we read of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. then pause if you like, and say it over to yourself. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That what God can produce in the life and character of the believer. And there are 8 other graces. All the 8 other graces are characteristics or manifestations or attributes of the one thing, love. Joy is the ecstasy of love. Peace is the tranquility of love. Long suffering is the patience of love. Gentleness is the kindness of love. Goodness is the essence of love. Faith is the fidelity of love. Meekness is the humility of love. Temperance is the discipline of love. And all these are exemplified in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. All is a portrait of Himself. Now let us look at the first one. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. Divine love. And the amazing part is this, that God has shed abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We read together just now faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let me read to you these words that are recorded in the 12th chapter of Mark and verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This, we read, is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. Love, then, is actually an activity of the whole personality, of the heart, of the emotions, of the mind, of the will, of the intellect, and of the soul. The greatest thing in the world is love. And this love can be produced in my life by the Holy Spirit. Love as a hen to its garments that reaches the very dust. It can reach to the stains in the streets and the lanes. And because it can, it must. It's the greatest thing in the world. Love. Now, are we progressing in love? As I read to you just now, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a
sounding brass and tingling synth. Love is a language the deaf can hear, the dumb can understand, and the blind can see. For the love of Christ constrains. In fact, the only real progress is progress in love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And if we haven't got love, we haven't got anything. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now look at the second thing. Joy. Joy is the ecstasy of love. We read that we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now joy is something more than happiness, as we know. Happiness depends largely on what happens. That's really the meaning of the word, happiness. Happiness, I repeat it again, depends on circumstances. If circumstances go well, you're happy. If they go against you, you're not happy. But joy is a different thing to that. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't depend on outward circumstances. The joy of the Lord, as you read right back in the 8th chapter of the book of Nehemiah and verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in His presence, we read, His fullness of joy. Don't mistake, don't get yourself up to heaven for that grace. You can have that presence here and now, right in this very minute, in His presence, right here, is fullness of joy. The joy of prayer, the joy of communion, the joy of worship, the joy of fellowship, is there any joy in the world comparable to it? The joy of soul saving, the joy of ministry, the joy of preaching the gospel, is there any joy comparable with it? The joy of knowing that your sins are all forgiven, that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, the Holy Ghost your Comforter, and God your Father. There is no joy comparable with it. And yet the psalmist in Psalm 51 prayed this prayer, "Restore," he said, "unto me the joy of thy salvation." Have you lost the joy? Not your salvation. This is the joy of your salvation. Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Is there anything in the life that is robbing you of this joy? Anything? Anything unconfessed? Any unholy alliance, any departure from God, any unfaithfulness,
any neglect of your prayer life, any neglect of reading the Bible, all this can rob you of the joy of your salvation. But you can pray like David, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But before he prayed that prayer, he prayed this prayer. Wash me truly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He prayed that prayer first. And when you come to the language of the New Testament, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can have the joy restored. And in 1 Peter 1:8, you read these lovely words. We rejoice, Peter, with joy unspeakable and full of joy. The world knows nothing about joy like this. The Christian religion is not a joy killer. It's a joy giver. Now let us look at the third thing. Peace. The tranquility of love. It is the ability to keep calm. Freedom from being over anxious. From agitation. From worry. Even when the unexpected crosses. You don't panic. Even when satellites are launched into orbit, you don't panic. You know something about the tranquility of life. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And this is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Oh, what peace we often offer. Won't we say it sometimes? Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Our brother was playing on the organ just now. And the words that we sing to that lovely refrain at home are these words. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy the tranquility of love. Then long suffering. Long suffering. The patience of love. The patience of love. Long suffering. I read to you from 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffereth long. is not easily provoked, is not touchy. How touchy some people are. You can scarcely open your mouth. But love is not that. Long suffering, the patience of love, is not easily provoked. Beareth all things, endureth all things. The patience of love, to wait and even endure suffering. When hemmed in with perplexities and beaten down with a devastating blow, the patience of love will give you power to hope and rise again. God will leave His long suffering, not willing that any should perish, and that is reproduced in the believer. Long suffering is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then, gentleness. Gentleness, the kindness of love. What does it mean to be gentle? Not aggressive. Not cruel. Not riding roughshod over other people. Thy gentleness, we read in the Psalms, hath made me quick. These are God's gentleness. How gentle God is. Listen to these words. Like as a father pitieth his children. That's how gentle He is. Like as a mother comforteth, as a nurse cherisheth. Gentleness, the kindness of love. Some of you have heard the name of Gypsy Smith. He was a great evangelist. You know, to the States, many, many, many times, for evangelistic campaigns. He was a great singer and a great preacher. Thousands have been brought to Christ through his ministry. I was reading some time ago that just before he died, he sang. And the last song that Gypsy Smith ever sang, he'd been singing for years. He had sang thousands of songs. But the last song he ever sang was this. If you had a kindness shown, pass it on. It was not given for you alone. Pass it on. Let it travel down the years. Let it wait. Another's tears, till in heaven the bee appears. Pass it on. The gentleness of the character of Christian believers is the work of the Holy Spirit. Next, goodness. Goodness is the essence of love. He, we read, our Lord Himself went about doing good. goodness in exile. Goodness expressed itself in words and in deeds, in grace, in tenderness, in compassion. That was the very life of our Lord. He went about doing good. Barnabas, we are told, was a good man. Be not weary in well-doing. Or if you like, be not weary in doing good. There's a delightful little story of a missionary and his wife who are laboring in the distant part of the earth in a very difficult field. And they were getting very discouraged. There was very little fruit for their labor. Very little to be seen for many years of labor. And the missionary himself was in the garden one day sitting down under the shade of one of the trees. And there were some birds in the branches. And as he sat there in the quiet, the birds seemed to speak to him. The chirping of the birds seemed to say to him, "Give it up. Give it up. Give it up." And he got off his seat and he went indoors to be born. He said, "Well," he said, "it's no good. We should have to give it up and go back. The very birds on the tree tell us that. Give it up." She says, "Where?" She says, "Just there, underneath that tree where I was sitting." "Well," she says, "let's go again. Let's go and hear it again." She went with him. And they sat together under the tree. And the birds were chirping. And she listened. "Oh, you've got it all wrong. You've got it all. We didn't give it up. Give it up. Give it up. It kicked back. Kicked back. Kicked back." She had it. He had it all wrong. And you know, in this world that so badly needs your service and mine, let us keep it up. Be not weary in doing good. Goodness is the very essence of love. And the next, faith. Faith is the fidelity of love. Love will always believe, that's faith. Love never does. Love will trust even when it cannot face. Love is always loyal. That's exactly the meaning of this word. Faith, the fidelity of love. Someone has written these lovely words, "So on I go, not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than walk alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with Him than walk alone by sight." That's faith. Faith. The fidelity of love. And then, meekness. Meekness is the humility of love. And this is most important. This is one of the key virtues of the Christian faith. Meekness, the humility of love. Notice, it's meekness and not meekness. Really, the man Moses was very meek. The man Moses was very meek. The Lord is going even to suggest that there was any trace of weakness in the character of Moses. Meekness is not weakness, it's humility. The very opposite to the proud, to pride. The proud, we read, he knoweth afar off, and we can have pride. You can have pride of faith. You can have pride of race. You can have pride even of grace. And you can have pride of haste. Our Lord himself said these lovely words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Listen to these words. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Abraham said these words, "I have taken upon myself to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes." That's humility for a great man. You scarcely find a greater man in the Old Testament than Abraham. "I have taken upon myself," he said, "to speak unto the Lord, but I am but dust and ashes. That's all I am." That's humility. If we are proud and arrogant, it is because we have never be broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. We take a lot of smashing, some of us. We do. But you know, when God takes you into heaven and breaks you up and pulls you down, brings us right down to his feet, and we learn something of the meaning of these words. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. What does the Lord, we read, require of thee? Three things. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I repeat it again. One of the key virtues of Christian character in me, and it can be produced by the Spirit of God. Now we come to the last one. Temperance, or self-control, the discipline of love. Temperance, self-control, or the discipline of love. This is salvation from self-indulgence. This is deliverance from excesses. This is self-control in an age of luxury. This is the ability to exercise restraint. And what an age of luxury we are living in. You've never thought about sitting down and making a total of what we spend on ourselves or on our homes. The age of luxury. But this word temperance or self-control or the discipline of love will teach us where to draw the line. And God only knows some of us need this lesson today. We lose what on ourselves we spend. We have a schedule without end, whatever law to be the end. Who give us all. Listen to these words. If any man follow me, said the Savior, let him say no to self. That's exactly what he meant. If any man follow me, let him deny himself. Or I repeat it again. Let me say no to self. And that's the hardest thing that the Master ever asked of anyone. It's easy enough to say no to other people. But it's hard to say no to self. But it can be done. Not in the energy of the flesh, but by the Spirit and by the power of God. And every virtue we possess, if we have the whole nine of them, every virtue we possess, and every victory won, and every thought of holiness are His. Not mine, but His. His alone. And the last word is this. There are three keys in this chapter that will open the door into this new life. And it can be a new life. This experience, as revealed in this book of the Galatians, can be a new experience for some Christian people here tonight. And these are the three keys that will open the door into this new experience. Live, we read, in the Spirit. That's one. Walk in the Spirit and be led. Those are the three keys. If we live in the Spirit, if we work in the Spirit, if we are led by the Spirit, then the Spirit of God will reproduce these graces in our very lives. And this is the purpose of God. This is the Christian life as revealed in the New Testament and as exemplified in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus. Let us pray. O God, our Father in heaven, we have been reading and meditating together in thy truth. Thou hast revealed to us what thou canst do in us and through us. O God, we pray, make us willing. Make us willing in the day of thy power. Send us out into this world, we pray thee. Men and women alive unto God, on fire for Jesus Christ. Men and women with the character of Christ stamped upon us, so that people shall not fail to recognize these men and women have been with Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God be with us tonight and always.